Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure. Pour me a cup, Gracie. Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, our postman Mel Blanc, Sharon Douglas, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. For your Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for your everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House, with extra flavor in the blend because of choice Latin American coffee skillfully combined. Extra flavor in the cup because Radiant Roast develops the full flavor of every coffee bean. And the result is that today more people buy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world. Last week, a pair of newlyweds moved in next door to the Burnses. And right now we find George and Gracie watching the groom. He's out in his yard in a pair of trunks, taking setting up exercises while his adoring wife looks on.
Fella's certainly proud of his physique.
Oh, he's such a show-off. He thinks he's making a big impression, but I've scarcely glanced at him.
Good.
What do I care about the way those muscles slide up and down his arms?
But you said...
Or the way the sun gleams on that tremendous chest.
But you...
Or how he looks in those blue denim trunks with the tiny white pinstripe.
Scarcely glanced at him.
Yeah. I don't even know he's there.
Well, I wouldn't blame you if you did take a good look. Guy's got the sort of a figure that women like.
Not me. I'd much rather have your figure.
Really?
Sure. If I had his figure, I'd look like a man.
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, look at him over there, so proud of himself because he can bend down and touch his toes.
Well, it's more than I can do.
Oh, but he's lots younger than you are. 10 years ago, you could bend down and touch them.
Well, sure.
And just 5 years ago, you could look down and see them.
I was more athletic then.
I'd certainly like to put a stop to her bragging. She told me 12 times that her husband had her name tattooed on his chest.
You'd like me to do that?
Well, not my whole name, but there might be room for my initials.
Now, look.
Or a small G in a period.
Gracie.
Or at least a period.
There'll be no tattooing on my chest, so let it drop.
I wish you hadn't.
We are now stuck with 2 lines.
Yeah.
Good morning, Burnses. What's new?
Well, we're watching our neighbor take his exercise, Bill. Look, what do you think of him?
Not too bad.
Oh, you're so blasé, Bill. He has a marvelous physique, but you act like you see a better one every day.
I not only see it, Gracie, I bathe it and dress it.
Such a modest little fellow.
Well, I take no credit
Timid
for my figure.
Little soul.
Yeah.
Self-conscious.
I take no credit for my figure, George. The food you eat when you're a kid, you know, that's very important. And I ate nothing but wheat cakes.
Wheat cakes?
Yeah, today I'm really stacked.
Okay, Frankie.
When you were a kid, you must have eaten lots of lard.
Now, see here.
Oh, don't tease him, Bill. After seeing the man next door, he's very sensitive about his shape.
Well, you shouldn't be, George. If people commented on his shape and your shape, they'd use the very same words.
You mean that?
Well, sure. They'd look at him and say, "What a man." And then they'd look at you and say, "What? A man?"
Well, you got me in stitches, and I'd like to arrange the same thing for you.
You've said enough, Bill. Come on in the kitchen, and I'll fix you a cup of Maxwell House coffee.
Okay, Gracie. And don't brood about your appearance, George. You have your place in the scheme of things.
I do, huh?
Well, sure. Life's highway is just like any other highway. It wouldn't be complete without a few wrecks.
So long, comic.
Dig you later, Samson.
Donald, why do I have to be surrounded by good-looking guys? Bill's handsome. The fellow next door is handsome. Wish I knew one man as homely as I am.
Good morning, all.
Well, Meredith, I forgot about you. Come in. Glad to see you.
Well, thanks, George.
Up till now, I felt pretty bad about not having any muscles.
No need to feel bad about that, George. If it's muscles you want, there's nothing easier to get.
Hmm?
I remember old Lester Hamill back in my hometown of Mason City. Now, Mason City, Iowa. Now, Lester... Lester always gave the impression of being pretty skinny. Probably because he was 6'7" and weighed 89 pounds.
Well, that might do it, yes.
And Lester was miserable because his ambition in life was to be a heavyweight wrestler.
Kid picked out a great ambition.
Oh, but wait. One day old Lester saw an ad in a magazine.
Hmm.
One of those muscle builder courses. So he called up a friend who was stronger than he was and had him tear out the coupon.
Lester was a weak one, wasn't he?
Not for long, George. The course arrived and Lester started exercising. In the morning, he'd lift 50-pound dumbbells for 6 hours.
Hmm.
In the afternoon, he'd do 3,000 push-ups.
Yep,
and then he'd toss the medicine ball until midnight.
Did it work?
Did it work? George, in just 4 weeks, Lester looked exactly like Strangler Lewis.
Holy smoke.
Yep. He'd made a great wrestler, too, if the exercise hadn't killed him.
Lester's dead. Died in Mason City, I guess. Yes, it killed him, huh?
Killed him.
Yeah.
But it sure gave him muscles, boy. Do you think you'll take the course, George?
No, I don't think so.
No. Well, you don't have to take the whole course. Just lift one dumbbell every morning.
Okay. Report at 9 a.m. Goodbye, Mayor.
Goodbye, all.
Goodbye, all.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns. Here's your mail.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Postman. Am I mistaken, or do you look a little less cheerful than usual this morning?
No, you're right, Mrs. Burns. I am not my gay, exuberant, effervescent, bouncing self today. You see, I have just come from the house next door.
Oh, you mean where the newlyweds live?
Yes. The groom answered my ring, smiling and happy, been married 8 days. Poor Schlemiel. Little does he know what lies ahead. The sight of newlyweds just makes me want to cry.
Oh, now, Mr. Postman, I'll bet their visit to the Justice of the Peace has made them very happy.
I, too, was married by a Justice of the Peace. Since then, I've had no justice and very little peace.
To get the wrong wife. That's just what happened to you. Maybe his wife is entirely different from yours.
Oh, she couldn't be the same. When they made Bertha, they broke the mold. Come to think of it, it must have been a little crack before they made her.
Well, don't worry about those newlyweds. They'll be happy. Say, as a matter of fact, I think I'll help them be happy.
How?
By giving that young bride the benefit of my experience. I can show her how to handle her husband. Save her from saying the wrong thing, as we all do occasionally.
Yes, I said the wrong thing once. When the man asked me, "Do you take this woman?" I said, "I do." Instead of "in a pig's eye."
Well, I'm sure... Oh, look. Here comes our little newlywed now. Oh, hello, Virginia.
Hello, Mrs. Burns. Good morning, Mr. Postman.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Jackson. Well, goodbye, ladies. Remember, keep smiling.
Mrs. Burns, Burns, it's the funniest thing. He cries every time he sees me.
Oh, don't mind the postman. He's just opposed to matrimony. His favorite song is Little Abner, Don't Marry That Gal.
Well, Mrs. Burns, I dropped over to ask you if you'd like to go shopping with me. I'm dying for a new hat.
Oh, me too. I'd love to go.
Oh, here I am starting to spend my husband's money and married 8 days. Isn't that awful?
Oh, terrible. You've wasted 7 whole days. But I'm glad you mentioned that because it gives me an opportunity to teach you lesson number one in how to handle your husband.
Lesson number one?
Yes, how to pry hat money from him.
Oh, but Mrs. Burns...
Now, you just sit down here and observe. When my husband comes downstairs, you're going to get a money-prying lesson from two experts.
Two experts?
George and myself. I can pry it harder than anyone, and he can hold on to it tighter. Oh.
But Mrs. Burns, really...
Shh. Here he comes. I'll try every trick in the bag, beginning with flattery.
Well, darling, I guess I'll run along to the... Oh, hello, Mr. Jackson. Oh,
good morning, Mr. Burns.
Oh, careful, Virginia. Don't look into his eyes. If you do, you're a goner. Huh? Hi, you handsome devil, you.
What are you talking about?
Oh, what woman could resist you once she's looked into those soft beige eyes? It's like looking into two pools of nylons.
Oh, stop.
Oh, I wish I could keep you mine, all mine. But I can't. Fate just gave me a man too beautiful for one woman.
Gracie.
Oh, George, George, why did Mother Nature have to blow her top on you?
Oh, fine.
Oh, yes, I must face it. I didn't marry just an ordinary mate.
Believe me, we're both in the same boat.
Someday I'll be left all alone. Maybe you better give me a little money right now to tide me over. Just enough for bread and hats. Not much.
Bread and hats?
Yes. And since there's no bread, I'll have to spend it all on hats.
So that's what all this is about. You want money for a new hat?
Just $15. If you happen to have 3 wrinkled old fives you're ready to throw away. I could iron them.
Nothing doing.
A 10 and a 5 will do.
Nope.
How about 2 sevens and a 1?
Gracie, you're not getting any money out of me for a new hat.
George Burns, if you don't give me that $15, I'll organize myself into a union and strike against you.
Look.
And I'd like to see the government take that over.
Gracie, you might as well stop beating what you laughingly call your brains out. I'm not giving you any money.
You don't love me.
Never mind the phony tears. That won't work either.
You're right. I mustn't cry.
Fast stopping.
The doctor says I'm not to have any excitement. Hmm. Not in my condition.
Well, I don't give to your condition?
Yes. And if I don't get the $15, I'll be upset. And the doctor says,
here.
I'm not...
Here's the money. Sit down.
Oh, thank you, George.
Gee, darling, you're really expecting a little bundle of joy?
I sure am.
What do you think it'll be, a boy or a girl?
A new hat.
A new hat? But what about what the doctor said? What about your condition?
Oh, that. Oh, he says I'm very easily upset. Thanks for the money, dear.
I've been had again.
Oh, well, there you are, Virginia. That's how to get money from your husband. You see how simple it is?
It looked pretty complicated to me.
Oh, well, there's really nothing to it. Now, you run over next door and try it on your husband.
Oh, but that's what I tried to tell you. I don't have to.
You don't?
No, I just mentioned to Jim that I might go shopping, and he gave me $100.
I wonder if I married the wrong man.
In Old New York, with Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. ¶¶ like the way you play that, Meredith. Takes you back.
Maybe too far back for us, Bill. There were gas lights and horse cars, bustles and button shoes when Victor Herbert first opened up the Red Mill and folks heard the hit song in old New York.
They're whistling it again now, Meredith, because the Red Mill is a hit in New York this season. You can hear it on the jukeboxes above the rattle of the elevator. And they're humming it in Battery Park right along with the tootin' of the tugboats. Yes, sir, that song, like the towers and the glitter and the rush of New York itself, has become a mighty real part of the American scene. Makes me think, too, how, through the years, Maxwell House has become so much a part of the American scene. Yes, every year, thousands of people discover in Maxwell House a new high in coffee-drinking enjoyment. That's why today more people buy Maxwell House than any other brand in America. Now, that delicious flavor in Maxwell House is a result of expert blending of premium Latin American coffees, each chosen from famous plantations for its own individual contribution. There are Manizales for mellowness, Medellins for richness. Other choice Latin American coffees for vigor. And Bucaramangas for full body. The result is coffee so richly mellow, so vigorously full-bodied, that north, east, south, and west, the nation's choice is Maxwell House. Good to the last drop.
Come on in and rest a while, Virginia. It was fun shopping, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, I love to buy hats.
Oh, by the way, how do you like the hat I bought?
Well, do you mind if I speak frankly?
Oh, why don't you do? Tell me just what you think of it.
Well...
Now, I want your honest opinion.
Well...
If you don't like my hat, you'll be doing me a favor to say so.
Well...
Only remember one thing. We talk about your hat next.
Well, in that case, I like it very much.
Oh, I thought you would. Now, you see how easy it is to be honest.
Sure. You know, there is one thing that puzzles me about your hat. That little lamp on the front.
Oh, well, this is the new John L. Lewis hat. The lamp comes in mighty handy in case you have to mine your own coal.
I see. But won't your husband be angry when he finds out you spent more than the $15 on the hat?
Oh, no. I bought something to take his mind off the hat.
What?
The two new dresses.
Oh, yes. My goodness, when he sees the dresses, he'll really blow his top.
I know. And that brings us to lesson number two in handling your husband. How to keep his top nailed down.
How do you do that?
Oh, it's simple. You know, every man likes to be a hero. Now, all you have to do is make your husband think he's a big hero, and it puts him in a wonderful humor.
Really?
Yeah, well, just watch. I'll make George the biggest hero of the war. Oh, George! Could you come here a minute?
What is it, dear?
George, Virginia is simply dying to hear how you saved the country from the Japs when you were an air raid ward in junior grade.
Well, I wouldn't say I saved the country. Maybe I kept us from losing California.
Oh, you mean there was an invasion?
Well, not an invasion. It was sort of an air raid.
Enemy planes?
Well, we thought so. Later, it turned out to be an unidentified kite.
But, darling, you were a hero. If it had been a real invasion, you stood ready to defend us with your sand bucket.
Of course, I had my stirrup pump, too.
Yes.
Well, tell me just what happened.
Well, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning when the alert came through. Naturally, the first thing to do was to wake everybody up.
So I woke George.
Yeah. Quick as a flash, I jumped out of bed, put on my helmet and my armband, and dashed out into the street.
Then quick as a flash, he dashed back in and put on the rest of his clothes.
To get excited in an emergency.
Yeah. Well, dear, go on with your story. Isn't it thrilling, Virginia?
Oh, yes, I love war stories. I just never get tired of hearing my Jim tell how he captured those 50 Japs on Okinawa.
Well, to continue, I grabbed my sand bucket in one hand.
Your husband captured 50 Japs?
Uh-huh.
So I grabbed my sand bucket in one hand.
Single-handed? Yes.
So I grabbed my sand bucket in one hand.
Oh, they must have given him a medal for that.
Oh, they did.
So I grabbed my sand bucket in one hand.
Virginia, your husband is a hero. Oh, you must be very proud of him.
Oh, I am. His picture was on the cover of Life magazine. Sure. General MacArthur personally promoted him from corporal to captain. Sure. And the President of the United States gave him the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Oh.
So I grabbed my sand bucket.
Why, I'm proud to live next door to you.
It was a very heavy bucket.
I wonder if I could have your husband's autograph.
Why, of course.
I killed Hitler. Banged him over the head with my sand bucket.
I'd love your husband to speak before my club, the Beverly Hills Uplift Society.
Oh, he'd be happy to.
Knocked off Mussolini, too.
Did you say something, George?
Yeah, I just said I killed Hitler and Mussolini.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
Tell me some more about your husband, Virginia.
Well, I give up. Goodbye.
Where are you going, dear?
To the beach to refill my sand bucket.
Somewhere where the war was over.
Oh, it is, Mrs. Burns.
Oh, well, anyway, we took his mind off the hat, didn't we?
I think so. Oh, Mrs. Burns, it's been awfully nice of you to give me all this advice on how to handle a husband.
Well, glad to do it, Virginia. Of course a girl must know how to handle other men, too.
Other men?
Wolves. Hollywood is full of them. And they love to prey on beautiful young married girls. Oh, wouldn't one like to walk in here right now?
Oh, yes, I guess he could make short work of a little girl who's not even 21 yet.
Well, maybe, but it's you I'm worried about. Now, you must learn to avoid... Oh, come in.
Hi, Gracie.
Oh, hello, Bill. Mrs. Jackson, may I present Bill Goodwin?
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you.
Bill, I've been warning Virginia about wolves.
Mrs. Burns, how does a girl handle a wolf?
Well, I'll demonstrate for you. Bill, do you think you could act like a wolf? Oh, I ask some pretty silly questions sometimes, don't I? On second thought, you'd better not be the wolf. You might overact. I'll be the wolf, and you be a sweet, shy young girl.
Me?
Well, sure. You know how a sweet, shy girl acts.
Well, okay, Gracie. I'll try to remember how my dates act the early part of the evening.
Now, watch how Bill resists me, Virginia. I'm a wolf driving up Hollywood Boulevard, and Bill is a girl waiting for a bus. Hello, babe. Want a lift?
I'll say, let's go.
Oh, now, that's not the way to resist a wolf.
Well, that's the way the girls on Hollywood Boulevard resist them.
Isn't Mr. Goodwin supposed to be a married girl?
Oh, yes, Bill. You're married.
Gee, I didn't have any fun at all.
All right, now here we go again. Now resist, Bill, resist. Hello, babe. Want a lift?
No. I love my husband, Tom, the poor but honest bus driver.
Okay. Get in and I'll drive you to your house.
Who's got a house? We live on the bus.
Well, then get in and I'll buy you a house.
No.
Buy you a diamond necklace.
No.
A mink coat.
No.
Oh, now don't be hasty, babe. Let's go somewhere and have a cup of coffee and talk this over.
Maxwell House coffee?
Oh, sure.
Move over, Daddy. Let's go.
Oh.
Well, gee, Gracie, there's a limit to the temptation a girl can resist. Maxwell House is appetizing, rich, full-bodied, and mellow. Coffee at its full-flavored best. Good to the last drop. I'm only human, you know.
Oh, but, Bill, Virginia won't learn anything from this.
Well, she certainly will. She'll learn that more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world.
But we're supposed to be teaching her how to get rid of a wolf. Why did you bring up Maxwell House coffee?
I like to keep the wolf away from my door, too, Gracie. See you later, girl.
goodness, he certainly loves that coffee, doesn't he?
Bill thinks the pot at the end of the rainbow is filled with Maxwell House.
Oh, say, Mrs. Burns, all this talk of coffee has reminded me of something you really can help me with, and that's cooking.
Well, Virginia, you have certainly asked the right person. You know, I've been happily married for 11 years thanks to my cooking.
Oh, I've heard that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I guess that's the way you reached Mr. Burns' heart.
Ah, that's right. And with his stomach, it was quite a trip. Just step into the kitchen here, and I'll give you a lesson number 3 in staying happily married.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, now let's see what we have in the icebox.
You know, this is awfully nice of you. I'm a terrible cook. Last night I made my first biscuits, but poor Jim just couldn't eat them.
Did you throw them out for the birds?
Why, yes. How did you know?
Oh, I saw some birds trying to fly, but all they could do was sit in the ground and shrug their shoulders.
The poor things. I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, never mind. We're all green at first. Oh, here's just the thing for dinner tonight. Some cold boiled potatoes. I'll make George a potato surprise.
Well, I've never heard of that.
Oh, it's one of my own recipes. Now, if you'll hand me that bowl and that paring knife.
Oh, here you are.
Thanks. Now, first I cut the potatoes up in the bowl, and then I pour some of this molasses over them.
But that's not molasses, Mrs. Burns. That's vinegar.
Oh, really? Huh. Well, it doesn't matter. I change the recipe a little now and then. Now, next I add a few of these salted peanuts. That gives it body.
Oh.
And then I put in 4 or 5 prunes.
What's that for?
More body.
But you didn't take the pits out.
You can't have too much body. Now I'll throw in a handful of sardines. And add just a touch of cornflakes and stir well.
Potatoes and prunes and sardines? And this is the way you stayed happily married for 11 years?
That's right. Now I'm ready for George to taste it. Oh, George!
Yes?
Dear, I fixed a wonderful potato surprise for our dinner. Would you like to taste it?
Well...
Here, open your mouth.
Okay.
How did you like it?
It's horrible. Get your hat on and we'll go out for dinner.
Oh, yes, dear.
I'll be waiting in the living room.
Oh, what a shame, Mrs. Burns.
You think so, huh?
Well, he refused to eat what you fixed. In fact, it was so bad he insists on going out to dinner.
I know. I haven't washed a dish in 11 years.
Until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's number one brand of coffee.
Always good to the last drop.
Good night.
Oh, goody, goody, jello pudding tonight. It tastes like grandma's, only more so.
You ain't kidding, that's right. And just as jello, 6 delicious locked-in flavors can't be beaten. So the proof of jello pudding's in the eating.
The jello twins are hard to find, but keep on looking in your store. When sugar shortages are over, there'll be more.
Just taste of jello pudding or of jello and you know it's the one and only J-E-L-L-O.
Join us again next week when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson, his orchestra, yours truly, Bill Goodwin. Good night, everyone.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.